This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today and PHEV World. We're about to speak to Cindy Knight, who's a spokesperson for Toyota Motor Sales in Torrance, California. Welcome to Plug-in Hybrid Electric Vehicle World.
Thank you, Mark.
What was the context of the announcement from Toyota that we're about to discuss?
Our parent company, Toyota Motor Corporation, last week made some announcements about a couple of different technologies that are on the way to be placed in our vehicles in the next over the next few years or so.
Was this done in Torrance, in Tokyo?
Tokyo. It was done in Tokyo, and the venue is called the Toyota Environmental Forum, which is a regular media event that Toyota Motor Corporation holds to announce Toyota's environmental activities.
Okay, when I read the press release, it mentioned the term sustainable mobility. Tell our listeners what sustainable mobility is as Toyota sees it.
Sustainable mobility is our goal for reducing the environmental footprint of our products. And that can be everything from improving the amount of recycled material we use when we manufacture the vehicles to reducing amount of water or energy we use per unit of production, reducing smog-forming emissions, CO2 emissions, and improving fuel economy.
Okay. Well, say just a little bit about the relationship between fuel economy, non-petroleum fuel sources, and global warming.
Non-petroleum fuel sources?
Right. Flex fuels, bioethanol.
Well, all of those alternatives to petroleum fuels all have the potential to reduce CO2 emissions. Depending on how they're manufactured, those are all promising places to look for CO2 reduction.
Has Toyota looked into and shared with you information about the energy economy of bioethanol and whether it takes more energy to produce it than it yields at the end?
They haven't shared that. The only information that they've really released generally is that we're looking at these alternatives. I think that they haven't put out standards that they're looking for as far as CO2 reductions with those fuels, but that, those are just all areas we're working on simultaneously.
Okay, because, I want to focus on the PHEVs. I also wanted to cover a little bit about the plans that Toyota announced at the same time in terms of flex fuel cars for Brazil and possibly for the North American market as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what kind of announcements were made in that regard?
Well, one thing TMC announced is that, that they're... they're leaning towards introducing a flex fuel vehicle into the U.S. market.
Tell the listeners what a flex fuel vehicle is, please.
A flex fuel vehicle is a gasoline engine that can run on either gasoline or an ethanol blend, such as E85, which is a blend of ethanol and gasoline. It's 85% ethanol, 15% gasoline. Right now, all of our engines are capable of running on an ethanol mixture of up to 10%.
Right.
But this would be using a great deal more ethanol and supplanting more gasoline.
Now apparently in Brazil, there are even cars that run on 100% ethanol.
Yes.
Is Toyota looking at that as well for making cars like that for Brazil or for the U.S.?
TMC has said that they plan to introduce a flex fuel vehicle in Brazil that can run on 100% ethanol, and that plan is for sometime in the spring of 2007. They have not been more specific about the model or the model name, but that's something that they have definitely said they plan to do.
Okay, so Americans who want to drive 100% ethanol cars can go to Brazil and do that maybe by next year.
If they wish to travel to Brazil, they will probably end up doing that.
Okay. Let's focus on the question of plug-ins. Tell our listeners what Toyota said at this event about its future in terms of plug-in hybrid electric vehicles that can be charged up from electricity and from the wall.
What Toyota said was that the company plans to advance its research and development of plug-in hybrid vehicles. And now, that's a little different from what we have said up until that point. Up until this point, we've been a little vague, frankly, about our plans to do that. We've said it's an interesting concept, and it's one that we're studying. So this is a bit of a change in tone, a change in language. It's probably subtle unless you're keyed into this issue where we have been very very quiet really about what we've been doing.
So our listeners who are sophisticated observers of this whole scene will see this as a relatively important change.
I think so. I think you can see it as a little bit more confident statement from Toyota that we really and truly are pursuing this.
Okay, now there was a simultaneous, actually in the same paragraph, announcement that Toyota is quote, working on a next-generation vehicle that can extend the distance traveled by the electric motor alone, and that is expected to have a significant effect on reducing CO2 and helping to abate atmospheric pollution. Does this mean essentially that there actually is in the works a vehicle that will have bigger, better, more efficient, more capacious batteries?
Well, what it means is that however they manage to do it, whether it's more efficient batteries, bigger batteries, or a better control system, or what have you, or even a different technology other than nickel metal hydride, that however they're going to do it, they're really saying that it will be able to travel farther on the electric motor alone. And that's what one thing our hybrid system is capable of, that not all hybrids are capable of doing, and that is that the electrical system alone is able to propel the car.
What's the range of the Prius now, the latest Prius, in terms of its electricity alone range?
You know, it's really hard to tell. It's hard to say what that range is because the computerized control system on the car makes a bajillion calculations to determine how the system should operate, whether it should run on battery alone or battery and motor or battery and gas engine or gas engine alone.
Right.
So I think that if you were at an extremely low speed, you could probably go a mile or so. But that all depends on how fast you accelerate.
I'm sorry, 1 mile? No.
Yeah, probably something like that.
Oh.
Very long.
That's all.
Well, until the engine would kick on in order to recharge the battery.
Oh.
And the battery is held within a narrow range of charge. It doesn't get all the way charged up, and it doesn't get all the way discharged.
So you're saying right now the when you turn the car on, it uses the gasoline motor to start with?
No, it can start on the battery.
Right.
And it can go on the battery if you keep it at a very low speed without putting a lot of load on the vehicle, for instance, going up a hill or...
Right.
It's not designed to go for long distances on battery alone. It's designed to mix the two.
Okay.
You know, for the vehicle to shut down at a stop or stoplight.
Right.
To shut down for the gas engine to cut out when you're going slow under, you know, not carrying a heavy load in the vehicle.
Okay, because I somehow thought it ran its first 30 miles on electricity and then the engine kicked, then the gasoline kicked in.
No.
Okay.
Not how it works.
But a plug-in would work like that, wouldn't it?
Well, that's one concept. That's one theory about how it could work, I believe, that some of the folks who have made conversion kits have made them in such a way that as long as you stay below a certain miles per hour,
right,
that you can run on the battery alone. But you have to stay under, say, 30 miles or 25 miles an hour in order to be able to do that.
Oh, it was my understanding that a plug-in hybrid would run solely on the stored electricity until it ran out, and then it would kick in the gasoline engine. And it does matter how many miles.
Well, you know what? I think there are a couple of different concepts running around, and so I'd feel more confident if you actually spoke with the folks who have done those conversions.
Well, actually, I have, and I was going to ask a question or two about that. Greg Hansen, who runs CS Energy in Monrovia, that already retrofits Priuses at the expense of their warranties, applauded your announcement and said that he thought that it indicated that Toyota was thinking that there are going to be better batteries and more costly gas sooner rather than later. Does that sound reasonable?
Well, I think he might be right in that it signals we've made some improvements with the battery technology that allows us to make an announcement like this. I don't know if it's so much geared to gas prices. When we introduced the Prius, gas was $1.29, so I mean that's a long-range concern, of course, but short-term gas prices really isn't going to accelerate our plan. What's going to accelerate our plan is how far we progress with the technology. It's really a technology question.
Okay, are the next generation after nickel hydride batteries lithium batteries, and are those possible contenders for use in these next generation vehicles?
Yes, I do believe that lithium ion is a technology our engineers feel is quite promising for not only a regular hybrid application, but this plug-in hybrid application.
That's essentially
I don't have any announcement about that, but I do know that we are researching that. It's one of the avenues, and I think generally in the industry, you'll see a lot of interest in lithium ion and a lot of people pointing to that as more promising for cost reduction than nickel metal hydride has been.
Now those are essentially the batteries used in laptop computers. Lithium ion.
Those are lithium ion batteries too, I think, but I don't know if they're exactly the same or really. I don't have the view into how they
just scaled up. Is there any consideration of possibly just buying CS Energy from Greg Hansen and taking advantage of all the research and development and experience that company has already?
I would not know about that if that was in the works or that was even being considered or would be considered. I just wouldn't know that.
Okay. Has it been the fact that he and his company are out there doing these and have a lot of people coming to get plug-ins as a retrofit, even though they have to avoid the warranty from Toyota? Has that played any role in moving Toyota forward in this area?
I don't think so. We are a very independent company. We have very long-range plans for product development, and we are very focused on developing the technologies that we need in-house and keeping that expertise and that learning within the organization. So it's not likely that the efforts of others really influence our plans that much, so much as our own determination to make vehicles that are better for the environment.
Okay. Once plug-in hybrids are developed and marketed by Toyota, there's going to be a need for the electricity. Toyota doesn't do as broad a range of products as, say, Honda does, but is there any possibility that Toyota would also get into the solar electricity business in order to allow people to generate the electricity to run their plug-in hybrid Toyotas?
Well, that's an interesting question. I have not heard of any such plans, but as a company, we tend not to announce things until we're very close to either having a product or bringing something to market.
Okay.
So I don't have any information on that.
Okay. What's the hybrid premium now? How much does a Toyota hybrid cost as opposed to a comparable model that's a standard gasoline engine?
Well, it's about $2,000 to $3,000. We do try to make our hybrids a really good value.
Right.
So they have a lot of standard equipment on them, and they're packaged in a particular way that we try to really, in some respects, sidestep the whole question about the premium.
Okay.
Because, like I said, we package them in such a way to offer a good value. value for the money, and to make sure we have products that meet our standards for quality, reliability, and durability. But as a rough rule of thumb, you know, you could say $2,000 to $3,000, and that's something that we're looking on. We're looking to drastically reduce.
What factors would drastically reduce that, and how low could it go?
I don't know how low it can go, but our president Watanabe has issued a directive to say, you know, halve that cost, cut it in half.
Okay.
And the main expense is the battery.
Right.
But you know, there's an inverter, there are electric motors, there are a couple of places to look for what we call cost down, cost out.
And of course, the mass production and mass acceptance would lower the unit cost of all of these improvements, wouldn't it?
Mass acceptance, mass market is extremely important for any environmental technology. If it's going to make a difference, it has to be adopted in large numbers. The tricky part about hybrids and electric vehicle technology is that this kind of cost out that's expected by observers hasn't happened with batteries. There is not that kind of correlation between scale and cost down. With nickel metal hydride batteries, the cost of nickel has tripled in the last few years, and that really challenges the cost down proposition.
Although lithium ion would avoid that problem.
Yes, that's part of the promise of lithium ion, is that it's not expected to have that kind of commodity pricing problem that nickel carries with it. Nickel is, I guess, somewhat rare, and it's, you know, I guess maybe there's speculation in it, or at least there's investment in it. And
I think lithium's as common as dirt, which it sort of is. So.
That could be, and that, you know, that's one of those sort of logical things.
Okay. Could you say something about whether a new zero emissions mandate from the state of California or the state of Texas, for example, would do to speed up the process of delivery of these cars, or as you've mentioned a few times, Toyota sort of goes its own way in these things?
Well, there is still a zero emission mandate in California. I don't know about Texas. I mean, we're still complying with the zero emission mandate.
Oh, okay. Because when I watched Who Killed the Electric Car last week, it had made a big deal about how the California Air Resources Board dropped the zero emissions mandate. What did I miss on that?
Well, I'm not the expert on the mandate, but it's still in effect. They might have dropped the specification of the technology. They might have said, which is an approach we favor.
Right.
Here's our goal: develop stuff that meets it, rather than saying, here's our goal and you must meet it with an EV or a fuel cell vehicle.
Right.
You know, I think that's maybe what changed
okay.
the mandate, but there certainly is still a mandate.
All right, maybe I'll check with them and get the latest from their point of view. I guess a Toyota makes more money from SUVs than it does from Priuses. Is Toyota environmentally sensitive enough that it's going to want to push the more sustainable models versus the less but more profitable ones?
First of all, I would debate the point of where we make the most profit.
Okay.
I don't know that. We're not the biggest maker of trucks and SUVs by any stretch.
Right.
We're actually the biggest maker of passenger vehicles.
Okay.
And we have the highest CAFE of any full-line manufacturer. So, you know, I think that you could say that, yes, we are building large trucks and SUVs. What we try to do in every segment that we're in is to be at or near the top when it comes to fuel efficiency and low emissions. So we want to be a full-line manufacturer. We want to sell to everybody. We want to make products that meet all kinds of people's needs. But while we do that, we want to make sure that we are also taking steps to reduce our environmental footprint, and that's why I referenced earlier in our chat here that our goals are to reduce energy per unit of production and water per unit of production and volatile organic compounds per unit of production on that kind of basis, so that even as we grow as a company, we do what we can, you know, to do this all in a more environmentally sustainable fashion.
Okay, two more questions and we're done. One of the themes in that film, Who Killed the Electric Car, was that when the EV1 was out and doing pretty well. The oil companies looked at it and said, we're not going to be able to sell any oil to the people who own these, and we're not happy about it. Toyota is a very big company, but the oil companies are, I think, bigger than Toyota. Is Toyota under pressure from oil companies to delay the introduction of vehicles that don't need petroleum?
Not that I know of. When you look at what happened with EVs, they were... It's really hard to imagine them having been a threat to anybody. The people who leased them and bought them love these cars to bits and pieces. They're incredibly devoted, very knowledgeable, but they're just not there in that large a number. I mean, the people who really, really love the EV, that could change, that could evolve. And I think it probably has, but you know, at the time, they were not turning out in huge numbers to buy the vehicles or lease the vehicles. But I wouldn't know about any efforts on the part of oil companies. I mean, you know, that's just not something that would come to me or affect me in my job.
Okay. Now, speaking of the EV1, is there any possibility that Toyota would build an all-electric pluggable without a gas motor at all, the way the EV1 was?
Well, Toyota did produce the RAV4 EV.
Right.
We leased and sold those vehicles in greater numbers than any car manufacturer. And we ended up suspending sales in 2003 due to a lack of demand, a very, very low demand.
So
we have tried electric vehicles.
So there are no plans now to build to sort of a more smaller passenger car using an all-electric model?
Not that I know of. But other companies have announced such plans. I believe Nissan has announced that they are looking at doing, or maybe it was Mitsubishi, one of those companies.
Right.
There are other companies that produce neighborhood electric vehicles, or
right,
small electric vehicles. There's a company that just recently announced that it's going to bring a small commuter car to the U.S. It's a Canadian firm called Zen.
I'm sorry, what's the small name?
It's a Canadian firm called Zen, Z-E-N-N.
Z-E-N-N?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are electric vehicles out there from different companies here and there. I mean, at the moment, I don't think any of the largest manufacturers are going back to doing that, but... you know, others are looking at it.
Okay. Finally, why don't you wrap up by talking about how environmental concerns are going to figure in the positioning of Toyota as it overtakes General Motors and becomes the largest car manufacturer in the world, and say something, if you want, about its responsibility as the largest manufacturer and how it sees its commitment to environmental issues within its products as a way of making it the largest manufacturer in the world.
Well, Toyota certainly feels that concern for environmental sustainability and global climate change are critically important if we are going to continue to make cars into the future, if we are going to continue to be a mass manufacturer who wants to sell cars all over the world in some of the most rapidly developing markets like India and China, that we're going to have to compete on the environment, and that it would be a competitive advantage for the company that can solve the problems of pollution and congestion, but still allow people the freedom of individual mobility, and that's really sort of the promise of...
That's what sustainable mobility is about.
Sustainability is about, it's pretty much being able to continue to do business because without wrecking the environment. I mean, we can't continue to sell cars on the basis that we have unless we address those issues.
It's not just the sustainability.
And we're talking about way into the future.
Right.
Toyota takes a very long view. And that, I think it's because of our emphasis on hybrids that has given us sort of the image of being an environmental leader, and that's something that we feel responsible about, that that we need to stay focused on that, lead the way if necessary, and continue to expand hybrid technology throughout our product line, and meet our goal in early 2010 of producing at least 1 million hybrids a year.
This, in fact, is, well, we've been mostly talking about North America here, Toyota commitment to sustainable mobility, in fact, directly addresses the sort of two-edged sword of in terms of India and China, in terms of where is all the fuel going to come from to fuel a raising to middle-class levels of consumption in those countries of transportation, and at the same time prevent massive global warming by extra pollution.
That's right. And Toyota actually should step back and say that Toyota's environmental commitment stems from the highest levels of the company. It's a directive that comes down from our board of directors, our presidents in Japan, to promote environmental sustainability throughout our operations. And that means our product line, our manufacturing, our sales operations, our logistics. Every entity has to set goals that address sustainability and meet those goals and report on them annually to the parent company.
Okay, well, I want to thank you very much for reporting on what you're doing to our listeners.
You're welcome.
And I look forward to talking to you in the future as some of these concepts become realities.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.